Welcome to Managing Tech Millions, the podcast for tech professionals navigating the journey from high earners to confident wealth managers. Struggling with equity compensation decisions? Are you curious about turning your portfolio into a thriving, scalable business? You're in the right place. Master your millions, own your legacy. Join us each week as we uncover strategies, share actionable insights, and help you take charge as CEO of your financial future. I retired at 51 without a finance background, and I didn't follow the 4% rule. I didn't build my plan around chasing market returns, and I didn't hand my money to a financial advisor in hope that they had it covered. Sounds counterintuitive, right? Because that's the playbook most of us are taught. Hire an advisor, diversify your portfolio across different stocks, withdraw 4% a year, and hope the market cooperates. But when you look under the hood, you'll realize something uncomfortable. The conventional retirement model wasn't built for people trying to retire early, minimize taxes, generate durable income, and leave a legacy. It was built to help you accumulate wealth, not to help you live from it. I'm Christopher Nelson. I spent 20 years in tech and built my wealth through equity compensation and a lot of late nights. But the real shift happened when I started studying how ultra high net worth families, families managing $100 million or more, actually operate their wealth. They weren't asking, how do I beat the market? They were asking, how do I keep more after tax? How do I build income without consuming principal? How do I ensure this wealth lasts multiple generations? How do I make my wealth operate like a business? Today, I'm sharing five counterintuitive investing principles that help me retire at 51. Starting with principle number one, stop trying to beat the market, start trying to beat the IRS. Here's a question no one asks. What's your after-tax return? Not your gross return, not what your brokerage statement says, what you actually kept after the IRS took their cut and all fees were paid. Returns seem to get all the attention, but taxes take the money. A lot of investors lose more to tax drag every year than they lose in a bad market. But most people never question it because they've been taught to treat taxes as fixed. You can see the taxes you've paid. What you don't see is the tax drag, the money you could have legally avoided, deferred, or offset with a better strategy. And here's the counterintuitive part. A 2% improvement in after-tax returns compounds faster than chasing an extra 2% in market performance. And it's more predictable. You can't control what the market does, but you can control your tax strategy. Take a step back. Think about that. Everyone's obsessing over which fund to pick, which stock to buy, trying to squeeze out an extra percent of return. Meanwhile, they're hemorrhaging money to taxes that a proper strategy could have captured. I call this the two games. There's income architecture, how you build and structure income streams. And then there's tax optimization, how you keep more of what those streams produce. Two distinct games that require two distinct strategies. And most people are only playing one of them. When I started playing both games, everything changed. Not because I earned more, but because I kept more. And that meant more to compound year after year. When I hired my certified tax planner, I paid them $10,000 for a year. They saved me $25,000. That's a $15,000 net gain year one. Now, run that through a compound return calculator, that's $15,000 invested and compounded at 7% over 20 years, nearly $58,000 from a single year's tax saving. But that's not even the real number, because that particular strategy should generate the same return delta every year. So that's over $650,000 over 20 years, not from picking better stocks, not from timing the market, from using the incentives the IRS already offers. Now, the shift here is not complicated. Stop measuring your wealth by gross returns, start measuring it by what you keep. Now on to principle number two, build an orchard, not a silo. Most people think about retirement the same way. You spend your career filling up the silo. Your goal is to get as much as possible in there. Then you retire and slowly start draining it, all while hoping it doesn't run out before you do. That's the conventional model. Save, accumulate, withdraw. The 4% rule. And the entire financial services industry is built around it. Now, picture something different. An orchard. You plant it, you tend it, and every season it produces fruit. You don't cut down the trees to eat, you harvest what they grow. The trees stay, the fruit keeps coming, and long after you're gone, these trees are still producing for whoever comes next. That's the shift that I made. Instead of building a portfolio designed to be drawn down, I built one with three distinct jobs. Generate income to fund the life, preserve the capital base so it stays intact, and grow over time. The income funds today, the preservation protects tomorrow, the growth builds what you leave behind. This is what I call the evergreen model, a portfolio structure built to generate income without depleting principal. And it's fundamentally different from the drawdown model that most advisors will put you in. So why don't more advisors recommend this? Two reasons. First, most weren't trained in it. The drawdown model is what school teaches, and it's the only model most advisors know. Second, a lot of income assets don't fit neatly into something they can charge AUM fees on. The questions you should be asking isn't, how long will my money last? It's, how do I build something that produces income indefinitely? That's the orchard. All right, now we're at principle three, which might be the most important of them all. Run your wealth like a business, not a hobby. If you have a multi-million dollar portfolio, I need you to hear this. You already have a business that can generate six figures of annual income or more, and there's a good chance you're treating this business like a weekend hobby. You check your accounts to see if it's green or red. You meet with your advisor once a year. You react when something goes wrong instead of planning ahead, and you have no long-term plan for the thing that's supposed to fund the rest of your life. Would you run a company that way? A multi-million dollar company with no operating cadence, no business plan, no governance structure? Of course not. But that's exactly how most people run their wealth. Here's what I learned from studying single-family offices. The ones managing hundreds of millions, they don't manage wealth casually. They use a proven operating system. And that operating system has seven components. It always starts with vision. This is where you set the direction for what wealth is meant to accomplish. Next is structure. This is where you align the portfolio architecture to that purpose. Then comes protection. This is where you build the legal and tax defense shield around what you've created. And every business needs processes. These are the operating procedures that keep the wealth business running, whether you're there or not. Data is next. This is where you track performance, risk, cash flow, and progress in one clear view. Then comes advisory partners. This is where you build an expert network with clear roles and mutual deliverables. And finally, governance. This is where you provide executive oversight that orchestrates all the other components. Most people maybe have one or two of these partially in place, and they wonder why managing their wealth feels chaotic. The goal isn't to build a $500 million family office with a full-time staff. The goal is to install the same operating logic at your level. Clear direction, clear data, clear responsibilities, and a cadence for making decisions. Once I built mine, the stress of managing my wealth didn't go away because my portfolio got simpler. It went away because I knew what to look at, when to look at it, and who was responsible for each part. And I wasn't worried that if something happened to me tomorrow, the whole thing would stop. The accounts, the advisors, the entities, the tax strategy, the decision process, they weren't just in my head anymore. They were part of a system that my family could continue operating. That's what a real wealth business gives you: visibility, continuity, and control. You can't protect wealth that only exists in your head, and you can't pass down a system no one else knows how to operate. But once you start treating your wealth like a business, a new question shows up. who's actually in charge. Most people assume that's their financial advisor. And that's exactly where the next mistake happens. Principle number four, stop being the admin, become the CEO. This is the one that gets people defensive. So let me be clear. I am not saying fire your advisor and go at it alone. I'm saying your advisor should not be the CEO of your wealth. Because if you look at an org chart for how most people manage their money, it would look upside down. The financial advisor is often at the center. The CPA is somewhere off to the side. Estate attorney gets a call every few years. The bookkeeper, if there is one, is buried in the details. And where are you? Usually at the bottom, forwarding documents, answering questions, and signing forms. That is not being the CEO. That is being the admin. And the problem with that structure is that everyone is siloed. Your advisor is thinking about the portfolio. Your CPA is thinking about the tax return. Your attorney is thinking about the estate plan, but no one is orchestrating the whole system around your goals, your timeline, or your family. In a real wealth business, the org chart flips. You sit at the top as the CEO, not because you execute every task, not because you become the tax expert, the investment expert, the legal expert, and the operations expert. You sit at the top because you own the strategy and the vision. Your advisors become specialists in their lanes. The CPA handles tax compliance. The tax strategist looks for proactive opportunities. The estate attorney protects the legacy. The investment team manages the assets. The bookkeeper keeps the numbers clean. But you are the one making sure all of those pieces are aligned. That's the shift from paper pusher to orchestrator, from client to CEO. And yes, this has a cost. But the bigger cost is usually the money lost to disorganization, unnecessary taxes, and siloed advice. Because once you're in the CEO seat, your job is no longer just to react to what's happening today. Your job is to build the wealth business for where your life is going next. That brings us to principle number five. Build your portfolio today for how you need it to operate in 5 years. Most people manage their portfolio for right now. Well, what's performing today? What do I need this quarter? What looks good on my statement? But your portfolio doesn't transform overnight, at least not in a safe, tax-efficient way. Whether it's divesting from concentrated positions, shifting capital into alternative investments, or building income streams that don't exist yet, all of that takes time, often years. And if you wait until you need the portfolio to perform differently, you're behind. Let me give you an example. Say you're 5 years from retirement. Right now, 70% of your net worth is in your company's stock. You want to get diversified income generating portfolio by the time you walk away. You can't sell that position all at once. The tax hit would be massive. You need a multi-year divestment plan, and that plan needs to start right now. Or say the growth portion of your portfolio is too heavy, and over the next 5 years, you want to migrate towards an evergreen portfolio. That transition does not happen overnight. Moving into income-producing assets like private equity, private credit, or real estate takes time. You can't just wake up one day and move half of your portfolio into alternatives, not safely, not strategically, and definitely not tax efficiently. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. This sounds like a lot of work. This sounds expensive. I already have an advisor. I'll deal with this later. And I get it. Life is busy. But the mistake is thinking the alternative is free. It isn't. You're already paying for the lack of a system. You're paying in unnecessary taxes. You're paying in uncoordinated advice. You're paying in missed income opportunities. You're paying in decisions that get delayed because no one owns the whole picture. And most importantly, you're paying in uncertainty. The goal is not to create more complexity. The goal is to replace invisible complexity with visible structure. When done right, this creates less work, not more. It replaces chaos with a system. If this is resonating, the next step is to lay the foundation to start operating your wealth like a business. Not a generic retirement plan, not another portfolio review, a clear plan for how your wealth should work across taxes, income, advisors, risk, and legacy. That's what we're building in our live workshop. In 2 hours, we'll help you map the first vision of your plan, what your wealth is for, how your portfolio needs to be structured, and where the gaps are, and what decisions you need to happen next. Head over to wealthops.io/go or click the link below this video to register. Our next workshop is likely in just a few days. And if you want a deeper dive into this concept of operating your wealth like a business, check out this video on setting up your own microfamily office.